Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf test. We're going to begin on Ches Amid Beis, roughly six lines to the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara first gives us a simon as to five different memories of Rabbi Yochanan. The first one relates to kibbutz Golias, and then Geisois, Tzedakah. Here it says Ma'aseh, but probably the better girsa is Ma'aser, like you see on the left-hand side. And finally, Parnes, or Parnosa, as we'll see in the Gemara, that is a simon. So what are the five members? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, God will yemak shamim ki yoyim kibitz golius. The day that it rains is as great as the day when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go and collect all of the yidin from Chutz Laretz and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. How do I know? Shenema, because we say, Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu kafikim ha-negev. We say that in the Shir Malas before benching. Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu Kodesh Baruch Hu should go and return all those that are in the lands of captivity, meaning out in Golos, Ka'afikim ba'negev. Ka'afikim ba'negev literally means like a stream which is flowing through the Negev, through the south, through the desert. But the Gemara says Afikim doesn't just mean a stream. Ben Afikim elamater. It means water, meaning rain. Shenema. It says Vayiro Afike Yom. And that Afike Yom means that normally Afike Yom means like tributaries that are coming out of the Yam, out of the sea, out of the ocean. Anyway, so we see that the word Afikim is referring to water, and therefore when Hashem returns all the Shiviseinu, all of the Yidden in Golis, back to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be like the day of rain, which comes down to fill up the oceans and the tributaries and the streams. So that was kibbutz. Then we go on to number two, which is Geisois. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, God liyem haksham shafilu Geisois poiskois boy. You have armies that are at war. And geisois are normally like garrisons of troops. So when it comes, you're in the middle of a battle. But if it's pouring rain, you can't really battle. Because in the good old days, they didn't have paved roads like we have today. All of the roads would become muddy. Can you imagine if you're going on your horse or you're running against the enemy? Guess what? With your heavy boots, you might just fall straight into the mud. So therefore, they take a vacation on that day. Shinim says the pasuk, Tlomeha rave nachas gedudeha. Tlomeha are the tlamim. Those are the furrows which are created by the oxen when they are plowing the field. Rave, when they become saturated. Lashon koisi revoya. They become saturated. If you remember, we had the Gemara before that one of the lishonis of Yore is Rave, and therefore the land and the fields and the furrows in the fields are becoming saturated. Then Nachas Gedudah, then the Gedudim, these are the garrisons, Nachas, they take a break, they take a day of rest. So that is the Geisis. And then we come on to Tzedakah. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Enik Shom Netzarim, you know why Chas V'Sholom rain does not fall. El Bishul Poiske Tzedakah Birabim, the Ein Noisnim. People that have pledged to go and give money for Tzedakah, and they've done that publicly, and they don't give the money. Shnemer, it says in the Pasuk, Nesiim V'ruach V'geshem Oyin, Ishmes Halu B'matas Shoker. Nesiim is referring to clouds. You'll recall Rashi brings this in Chumash when it says, Hanesiim Heviu Eis Abnei Hashoyim V'Eis Abnei Hamiluim. Pashup Shat is referring to the Nesiim of the 12 Shvatim. However, Rashi brings a different Pshat that Nesiim means the clouds, that the Avni Shoyim, Avni Meluim were provided miraculously by the clouds, not only rain coming down, but also the Avni Shoyim, Avni Meluim. Anyway, the point is that Nesiim means clouds. Veruach means a nice strong wind. So normally when you see lots of clouds outside and you see the wind is blowing, you say to yourself, oh, it's going to rain any moment. The Geshem Oyin, and it does not rain. Why is that? There's an Atziras Geshomim. The reason is because Ishmes Halel, a person feels great about the fact that he has Mata Shoker, he has pledged to go and give money, the whole thing is a Sheker, it's not true. He doesn't eventually go and fulfill his pledge. So because of that public dishonor of his commitment, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I don't have to go and honor my commitment to go and give rain either. So that's number three, that's Tzedakah. We go on now to Ma'aseh, but you'll see the gifts of Ma'aser. Aser ti aser. We learn this very often on the Yom Tovim. What's this double lashon aser ti aser? Aser bishvil shetis asher. If you go and give the maestros the way you're supposed to, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give you a shiris. Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan Yenoika Dereish Lakish. As we know, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were brothers-in-law, and Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law Reish Lakish had a tinnik, had a young son. It doesn't say how old the son was, but we'll see from the Gemara he was quite a bright individual, as also we will see in the Gemara that Reish Lakish had already passed on. So the uncle is now speaking to his very bright nephew, and he asks him the following. Omale, Eimali Psukecha. We find this from time to time in the Gemara, that people would go and ask children, what are you learning in Cheder? Which Pasuk are you learning? And very often, the Gemara wants to learn from that an omen as to what is likely to happen today, just based on the Pasuk that that child quotes. Here, however, our Gemara doesn't go into that, but the Gemara has a discussion about the Aser Te'aser. So he asked his nephew, tell me, what are you learning in Cheder? Amalei Aser Te'aser. So now he asked him, who asked whom? The Tinnik asked Rabbi Yochanan, what does Aser to Aser mean? So Rabbi Yochanan answered him, Aser b'shvil tzitzis Asher. Like we just had now in the Gemara, he told his nephew, the words Aser to Aser, the reason for the duplication is to tell you, you give your miser, you're going to go and get Ashiras. Amalei, so the nephew asked his uncle, Minalach, how do you know? Amalei, so he said to him, Zilnasi, try it out. Next time you have a kvua that grows, you have crops, go and give 10% to Levium and see what happens.
You have to give it anyway. It's this interesting...
What do you mean you have to give it anyway? Of course you have to give it anyway.
Right, so what do you mean try it out? Like you wouldn't have tried it out, you wouldn't have done it anyway?
In other words, if a person is meticulous and scrupulous about giving his maizes and doesn't try to get out of it with loopholes and this, that, and
the other thing. Through the roof or something.
Exactly. Or something. Be mafkir to somebody or whatever. Zilnasi, go and give it and you'll see. Nasi, try it out and you'll see this bracha is going to occur. Shet tisash. Amalei, umishar l'nasi l'kadosh baruch hu. Are you even allowed to test l'kadosh baruch hu? V'oksiv, it says in the pasuk, lo yisinasu es Hashem. And you're telling me, zilnasi, I should try it out. I'm testing a kodesh baruch. Am I allowed to do that? Amaleser Rabbi Yochanan said to his nephew, Hachi Amar Rabbi Hoshia, Chutz Mizu, this is the exception to the rule. Here you're allowed to go and test the kodesh baruch. Shenemar says in the Pasik. Pasik in Malachi, Haviu es kol hamaser, el beisa oitzer, behitere beveisi, uvechanuni no bezois omar shem tzivokois. Bechanuni is a loshen of bechina. You can test me, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bring your maaser to the beisa oitzerois, and go and test me, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Im lo yeftach lechem es arubes hashemayim varichuisi lechem brocha ad bli dai. You'll see in this chus of your giving maasers properly, you're going to get a huge bracha. I'm going to empty out my storehouses and give you a blessing. Ad bli dai. Frayt mor my ad bli dai. What is the expression? Ad bli dai. Amram bachom amrav ad sheyivlu sifsei seichem miloi medai. Until you're going to be so happy with the blessing that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given that your lips are now going to get worn out from saying sishinganuk. It's enough. It's enough. It's going to be such a huge bounty. Amalei. So now this young nephew said back to his uncle, Yehav Moti Hossam L'hai Psukah, had I learned the Pasuk that you just quoted, which is a Pasuk in Malachi, I'd never got there yet. I'm still in the middle of Devarim, Aser to Aser. Had I gotten to this Pasuk in Malachi, L'yehav Esrich Naloch U'liyoshia Rabach. So he answered a little bit sharply to his uncle, and he said that now that I'm familiar with this Pasuk in Malachi, then it's a Devar Pashit. Then I could have figured this whole limud out on my own. I wouldn't have asked you. It says in the pasuk, "Lo yisinasu es Hashem." I would have known this. So you quoted Rabbi Hoshea and you answered "Lo yisinasu." I could have figured this out on my own. It's almost like child's play. Once you have this pasuk, it says very clearly.
You're being apologetic.
Whichever way you want to learn it, but that was the story, and that's what he told his uncle, the Sue. So now that was, of course, the Ma'aser that we brought over here. And the reason why the Girsa of Ma'asei might also be appropriate is because, after all, we have a Ma'asei with Rabbi Yochanan and his nephew. And in fact, we're going to have a second Ma'aser. So therefore, the word Ma'asei or Ma'aser, both of them are appropriate, although it starts off with Ma'aser, which L'chayre is more appropriate. Once again, we had a similar encounter where Rabbi Yochanan asked his nephew, "What are you learning?" The Yosef, the Omar, Aveles Odom Maybe it's Ivalis Odom to Salef Darka Bi'al Hashem Yizaf Libay. Pasuk in Mishle. Let's see, we have over here the proper gear. So, Ivalis Odom to Salef Darka Bi'al Hashem Yizaf Libay. Ivalis means foolishness or nonsense, but here it has more of a, even more of a negative term, that the person has acted foolishly by doing an Aveira. And as a result, to Salef Darkoi, and then Bachfakrochen, he's gone, quote unquote, a little bit off the derech, and, says Rashi, he has been punished for his chait. So the evelas that we're talking about, not only that the person is acting in a ridiculous manner, but he's acting in a ridiculous manner that has caused him, Nebuch, to do a chait, to sin, and now to Salef Darkoi, Kodesh Baruch Hu has now taken him off the derech in the sense of punishing him. The Al Hashem Yizaf Libay. And then the person only has tightness on Hashem and says, hey, Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did you do this to me? So this is what the pasuk that the Tinnik was learning is Yosef Rabbi Yochanan the Kometami. Omar, miyikamidi dechsiv bechsuvi deloyer mizvi araisa. Tell me, is there such a thing as a pasuk in Nach where you don't have at least a remez to it in the Torah? On Malay, so the Tinnik, the son of Reish Lakish, said to his uncle, to Rabbi Yochanan, "Atu ha milay ramizi? I have a feirish pasuk that is merames that hints to this pasuk in Mishlei. What is the remez in the Torah?" So he says, "Vaksev, vayetzi liban vayecherdu ish el achiv lemer mazois osa lekim lanu, etc." Now the Gemara only quotes part of the pasuk. I'm assuming that you all know what the connection of this pasuk is, but it's always good to look at the whole pasuk. Vayomer el echov, hushef kaspi, v'gam hinei v'amtachti, v'yetzi libam, v'yecherdu ish el achiv, leimor mazois, osa l'kim lanam. This obviously is talking about the Achei Yosef, when they left Yosef's palace, and they're now going home to Yaakov Avinu. They stopped off in a gas station to go and take some more gas for the car, and then they opened up their amtachas. Amtachas is like their knapsack. And one of them says, hey, look what happened. Hushav Kasmi, my money has been returned. Vinei bamtachti. And then they realized, uh-oh, that may be trouble, because next time we come back, they're going to accuse us of stealing. They were all trembling, they were all very concerned. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu do to us? Kodesh Baruch Hu did anything to us? Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't do anything to them. These are the culprits. These are the guys that went and sold their brother Yosef to Mitzrayim, and that's why Yosef is now trying to cause trouble for them. So they shouldn't go and say, oh, what did Hashem do? Hashem didn't do anything. You guys, it's because of the ridiculous, stupid way that you conducted yourselves, that you went and you sold your brother. That's why the Salaf Darka, you're being punished. The Al Hashem Yizaf Levi, don't go and quote and go and say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, why you do it? You guys are doing it. So therefore, the Tinnik of Reish Lakish, in a very brilliant way, found a remez to this message of Mishlei in this pasuk in Chumash. Rabbi Yochanan was very impressed. Dal Eimei, he went to go and pick up his eyes. Now for most of us, opening up our eyelids is easy, with the exception of when you're trying to get up in the morning and the alarm clock rings, then it's a little bit more difficult. However, for Rabbi Yochanan, this was not a simple matter. Because in fact, the Gemara Rashi quotes from the Gemara elsewhere, that in the Gemara in Masechtas Bava Kamma, if you want to look at the Rashi, Rashi's about 12, 15 lines from the top of the Omer, the line begins, Dal Einei, says Rashi Rabbi Yochanan, his eyelids covered over his eyes, to be able to lift them, he needed mazlege de chaspa, he needed silver forks, little silver forks to go and pick his eyes up, not the eyes, eyelids, but Baba Kama, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is already elderly, and his all of his ivorim don't function with that same degree of alacrity that they would function when he was younger, and so therefore he needed someone or something to be able to just pick up his eyelids. So therefore the word Dal Eine is meant very literally, I need to pick up my eyelids to see this young man. Bechozve, and he saw the young man, seeing, in other words, his nephew. Asi Ime, so immediately his mother, who was Rabbi Yochanan's sister, ran in, and afikte, and she removed him from Rabbi Yochanan's presence. Why? Amrele, she said to him, Tommy Kamech, now, come. So that Chas V'Shalom shouldn't happen to you what happened to your father, to Reish Lakish. Again, the Gemara doesn't tell us what happened. However, the Gemara B'Metzia tells us that unfortunately, let's start earlier. As we know, Reish Lakish was initially in a gang of bandits. He met Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was mekarev him to tshuva, and ultimately he became not the head of the bandits, but the head of the Talmid Chachamim. He was the star disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. That's why we have him almost in every blot in Shas. You remember we learned yesterday in the Gemara, when Reish Lakish would come in to learn the shir by his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan, he learned it quite a few times before.
40 times
he prepared the Mishnah. He went over all his Mishnahis and all of the Gemaras and all of the source material, all of the Ma'ariv Mekoymis. He went 40 times, he repeated it. And as a result, he became the great Reish Lakish. Anyway, in later years, Reish Lakish made some sort of statement that sounded like he did not fully appreciate what Rabbi Yochanan had done for him. Rabbi Yochanan got upset. Rabbi Yochanan took a look at him, and unfortunately, after Rabbi Yochanan looked at him, Reish Lakish passed away. So therefore,
he said, isn't that the
Rabbi Yochanan said about himself. Right. After that, because afterwards, other Talmidim tried to go and console him.
Rabbi Yochanan does, and he said, everything you say, you agree with me. What's the point?
Right. Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, the point of the Gemara is that Mrs. or Rebbetzin Reish Lakish was concerned for her son, that just like her husband passed away supernaturally based on events, she didn't want the Chas V'Shalom that Rabbi Yochanan also puts his eyes on her son, that Cholila, something similar might happen. So he said, Shnel, let Lamahim guy. Anyway, so getting back to Agmar, now we see that there were taka two separate masim or masiyot between Rabbi Yochanan and his nephew. So therefore, the word ma'aser is not inappropriate, although ma'aser with a resh is probably more appropriate. Anyway, the final one is Parnes. Zulki Mar of the Omer of Yochanan. This is the fifth of the five memories. Mata Bishvil Yochid, Parnasa Bishvil Rabim. Mata Bishvil Yochid, Dichsiv. If you have an individual who needs mutter, he needs rain for his particular field, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will go and give a bracha, even though it's only one person that needs that bracha of rain. In other words, if he does all the mitzvahs properly, he acts like an Erlich Yid the way he's supposed to, Bishul one Yochid, a Kodesh Baruch Hu can go and send down rain. Chassid, it says the Pasuk, Yiftach Hashem Lecha, Es Aitzorei Hatoi Min HaShemayim, Losim Tar Arzcha. Well, these are a couple words over here. Anyway, the point is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will open up Lecha for a single individual. The word Lecha instead of Lechem shows you even for a Yochid. Losim Tar Arzcha Bitar. That's of course referring to the man. So that's really lechem for ganz klal Yisrael. Parnas over here doesn't just mean parnasa going to work and making, getting a check or making money. Over here means parnasa lefarnes klal Yisrael, that everybody has food. So this is bishvil haram. Rashi is a little bit bothered by how can they be mutter bishvil yochid, because after all, it is not, you don't have one person with one field. You have a ganze oilem, and therefore, if I need rain, don't you need rain? And doesn't he need rain? Don't everybody in the same farm area, in the same region, don't they all need rain? Only one individual needs rain.
I'd say they're in the same boat if they were at sea.
Ah, very good. Where's Shelley when we need him? Anyway, so Rashi over here says it's very simple. See, Rashi, almost halfway down. Mata b'shul yochid says, Rashi shim ein tzorach mata eli adam echad. Only one person needs rain. Why only one person? Ki goyim shizora achar zman zriyas b'nei adam. Normally everybody plants their field, they sow their field twice at the beginning of October, right at the beginning of the rain season, in the beginning of Cheshvin, and this person, for whatever reason, was delayed. And so therefore he's only planting it 2 weeks later, a month later. So now he's a little bit off kilter in terms of everybody else's schedule with the rain. So he's the only one that needs the rains at this point. Everybody else, Baruch Hashem, has had enough. Yoreh. Now they're waiting for the Malkush at the end of the rain season. he didn't have any rain yet. He just planted them. So it's bishul yachid. So if the person acts the way he's supposed to, Kodesh Baruch Hu will send mata bishul yachid. Or it says Rashi shador biir shekulin achrim. Or he lives in a town or a city where they're only he's the only Jew in town, and they, for instance, did not have any schusim that they should go and get rain. But he has a schus. If he needs mata and he has enough schusim, Kodesh Baruch Hu sends to him individually. However, Parnasa explains Rashi is shefa tuiva umichil lechol oilam. To go and bring a shefa, a bounty, plenty for everybody. For one person, it's not going to come. El mishul rabim, shem rabim, trichin soiva. If the rabim, the tzibur, needs soiva, they need plenty, they need a bounty. Shetishlach, brocha betua, kodesh borcha, oise im zochu. If they are zoche, in other words, they act properly, Hashem will go and send them. Abu yochad atorach, she is borcha tfu oisev, eni kodesh borcha mishane ba'avuloi din hashona, el kfi birchoisea, etc. So what Rashi is saying is, what's the difference between the matar and the parnasa? Matar means the basics. The basics that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to send, even for one individual, if he is, of course, ro'ui, if he's worthy, Kodesh Baruch Hu will send matar just for that one individual. As far as parnasa, that means to go and send plenty and a bounty for the ganze welt. Oh, that's only going to occur if everybody is on the madrega that they should be zocher to have that type of bounty and plenty, not in the schus of one individual. And that one individual, since we're not giving him parnasa, bounty or plenty, because we're saying bounty or plenty, you have to have the schus or rabim, so he's going to get, says Rashi, the amount that he should be getting according to the shana ubir chayser. In other words, whatever the average that everybody is making that year and producing that year, that's how much he's going to receive as well. To go and receive more than that, for that you need already a schuz haram. So getting back, so now we know why it says parnes and parnosa, and another few lines we'll see talk of the word parnes is even more appropriate than parnosa. But anyway, zokti mar parnosa shuram v'chsev nimam to lechem lechem neshamay. Meis rebeis of Yehuda Eimer shloisha parnesim toivim omdu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed three great leaders simultaneously and contemporaneously for Klal Yisrael. Eloheinu, who are the three great leaders? Moshe v'Aharon Miriam. The Gimul Matonis Toiveis Nitnu Al Yodam. And in the schus and the merit of each one of these three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave one special present for Klal Yisrael at that time. The Eloheinu, what were the three great presents? Be'er, the Onon Uman. Be'er, that's the Be'er that of course gave water for all the Yidden. That was B'schus Miriam. The Amud Onan, this Amud Onan Rashi explains, and the Gemara is going to call it shortly, Anane HaKavoid. We're not just talking about rain clouds, we're talking about specifically clouds that enclosed Klal Yisrael from all four sides, and in fact, according to Chazal, even Lamala and Lamata, so that they would have a protective, insulating force of these clouds that covered them all up from all sides, and that was Mishchus Ahar. Mon was Mishchus Moshe Ben. And the Gemara repeats. Meisa Miriam, after Miriam passed away, the Stalik of Be'er unfortunately went away. She never said the Pasuk, but Tomashem Miriam, Uksiv Basrei, Flahayamayim Lo Eda. These are back to back psukim that Miriam passed away. As we'll see in the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, she passed away in Chodesh Nisan. And right after her passing, it says the next Pasuk, Flahayamayim Lo Eda, there was no water. You know why there was no water? Because the Be'er and the water were in her schus. No Miriam, no water. However, in the schus of the remaining Aharon and Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu restored the Be'er. Meis Aharon, eventually Aharon passed away. The Stalku Anne Kovid, the Anne Kovid passed, went away. Shneimer said in the Pasuk, Vayishma Kanani Melech Harod, Mashmu Hashemu Vov. If you remember, we had this Gemara at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, not too long ago. Mashmu Hashema, what did the Kanani Melech Harod here, Shama Shemes Aharon, Benistalka Anne Kovid. He heard that Aharon passed away, and now this bulletproof type of protective insulation of the Anne Kovid also went away. And he figured, aha! Ukasavar Nitna Le Rishis Lachem Yisrael. Now he's being invited, so to speak, to go and wage war against Klal Yisrael. Behind the sin, that's why it says in the Pasuk over there, Vayirukala Eidik Yigova Aharon. Now, Parshup Shat, Vayirukala Eidik, means that Klal Yisrael saw Yigova Aharon. And Rashi says they saw because they saw how Aharon was there in Har HaHor, and how he removed his priestly garments, the big dekahuna, and he handed them over to his son, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was administering the whole thing. Everybody saw this in like a Ruach HaKodesh type of situation. So everybody saw that Aharon passed away. So that's the Parsha Pshat. And the word then, ki, means that. But Yirukal, Eidu, the whole Eidu, saw, ki, that, go behind the Aharon passed away. Omer Bavo, Al Tikri, Vayiro, El Vayiro. Vayiro in this context means not that they saw, but they were seen. In other words, they were now exposed. Why were they exposed? Because until now, they were totally enveloped from all four sides by the Anei Kavod. Now those Anei Kavod went away, Nistalku. For the first time, one can see them. Kivadarish Shlokish, in fact, that's what Shlokish darshins the word over here, Vayiru Vayiro, the Amr Mishul, the Amr Shlokish, Ki Meshamish Ba'arba Lishoinis. Shlokish says that the word Ki can be interpreted four different ways, depending, of course, on the context. Now, ki can mean e, which means if, dilma, perhaps, ella, rather, or but, and daham means because. And therefore, in our connection over here, the way we touched the word until now was, vayishmaknani melech harod, vayiru kol eida, ki kova aray, that all of Klal Yisrael saw that Aharon passed away, so the word ki means that. Rather, the way we're dashing it now, like Rish Lakish says, we're saying that the word ki is the ha, which means because. Vayiro kol eida, the whole eida was now seen, they were now exposed. Why? Because? Because Aharon had passed away. So therefore, the key, as we see, is the key to understanding this pasuk is in the word ki, that you can go and change the interpretation based on the drash. Chodesh name is Chos Moshe. After Miriam passed away, and after Aharon passed away, both the Be'er and the Anonim returned, the Anani Kovid returned in the Schus of Moshe. Now when Moshe passed away, the Stalkakul, and then we lost all three, meaning we lost not only the Be'er, and we lost the Anonim, we also lost the Ma. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk in Zechariah, V'achid eshloishes aroyim b'yerachecha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take away, remove the great three shepherds, meaning the three leaders, in one month. Now, there was no time, says Rashi, that we had three contemporaneous, simultaneous leaders of this stature, and therefore, b'yerachecha meso, did they all pass away in one month? Finally, Miriam meisa menisa. There's a Pasuk in the Torah that says, b'feirish, Rashi brings it on the bottom, v'yivoy b'nei Yisrael, kol eidim in batzim, v'chodesh harishoy, v'yeshiva'om b'kodesh, v'tom v'sham Miriam, v'tikom v'sham os, and Miriam passed away in Nisan, the first month of the year. V'aron passed away b'av. There it says not only the month, but even says that he passed away on Rosh Chodesh Av. Pasuk in the Chumash, the only yard site brought in the Torah, the exact date, Rosh Chodesh Av. Moshe passed away, of course, Adar, that doesn't even have a Pasuk, but that we learn in Sechtes Megillah, based on Psukim, he passed away on Zayin Adar, which is saying his birthday, and he passed away in Zayin Adar, etc., etc. Anyway, so we know that they passed away in three separate months. So what does that mean? For Achkid, as Shloishes Roy Bierchechad, and Malamish is about to give Matonis Toivish and Nitno Ali Adar, the Stalkukulam Bierchechad. So it doesn't mean that they passed away, it really means that the protective forces and matonis that the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent to Klal Yisrael in their schus, those all were removed at one time in the same month when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Anyway, why did I bring this whole lengthy, beautiful discussion? I see that in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu alone, we had all of this parnasa for Klal Yisrael. We had the water, we had the be'er, the ananim, we had the man. And one, in fact, was the case that the Gemara said before, Parnasa Bishul Rabin. The Gemara said, Nimam Telechem Lechem and Hashem Oyen Bishul Rabin. The man is Mischus Moshe Beinu. He's a single individual. Every Moshani Moshe Kiven the Rabim who boy Kirabim Domi. Moshe Beinu is different. Kirabim who boy. Now, what does it mean, Rabim who boy? Rabim who boy means that Moshe Beinu, when he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food, he wasn't being mispal for himself. Anything and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing on behalf of the whole tzibur, the whole rabbin. So therefore, he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael needs to eat. How are you going to go and satisfy them? Says Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to send down the man. So even though it was Beschus Moshe, but Moshe was just acting in a representative capacity as the leader of Klal Yisrael in asking for and receiving the man. So therefore, he has the status like rabbin. Now, since we, and with this we have now concluded all the five, the kibbutz, the geizis, tzedakah, meiser or masa, and parnis or parnosa. Both of those terms are also appropriate based on what we just learned. So, Zokti Moriyetz, we have now a somewhat similar story, similar that we're going to talk about the Shloshes Haroyim B'Yerech Echad. Tell the Gemara, Vunabar Manoich, Rav Shmuel Bar Idi, Rav Chiyemni Vestanya. Havishchichi Chamei de Rav. These were three Talmidim of Rav. Kenoch Nafshid Rav, when Rav passed away, also the Kamed Rav Papa, they came to the Nai, Rav, to the new Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Papa. Now, Rav, when he said the Divrei Torah, they were really bowled over. They were really so impressed. Ah! Rav Givaldik. Unfortunately, they were less impressed when they started learning now by Rav Papa. When they came to learn before Rav Papa, whenever he said up Sanaya Chiddush and they didn't like it, so then they went and did hinting with eye signals, winking one to the other as if to say, Rav said better Torah than Rav Papa, finished. Cholish died, and as a result, unfortunately, he had Chalisha Sadas, which means he felt very distressed and very depressed about these new three Talmidim, the way they were reacting to his Shiurim. Akri Machalme, so then they showed him, meaning Rav Papa, in a dream, for Achid es Shloisha Sarayim. Uy, that's the pasuk that we just brought, and now you know why we're bringing this Shikul Gemara. So he, now Rav Papa, was distressed to get this pasuk in the cholim, and he figured, I know what this means. It means that Chas V'Shalom, these three Talmidim, Rachman Litzlan, are going to pass away. It's Lamach, and the next day, Kiyav Miftir Minei, when they said goodbye at the end of the Shir, Amlehu Lezlu Rabbonon. Now, in our Gemara, it says Bishalma, but notice on the left-hand margin, it says Lishalma, with a lamed. Now, what's the nafkimini between Bishalma and Lishalma? So we have this at the end of Masechta's Brachos, at the very end of the Masechta. Good. So now, what does it say at the end of the Gemara over there? It says that if a person is going on a trip, we say we wish him that he should go Lishalim. And Rashi explains it. Mepharshim explains Lishalim means that he should, number one, he should get there peacefully. Yes. And also Lishalim means that every person has a degree of shleimus, both physically and spiritually, and we give him a bracha that he should keep on going mechayil el choyil, he should go to further shleimus, more and more and higher in his shleimus and avodas Hashem, in spirituality and in general. On the other hand, it says over there, if Chas V'Shalom, a person passed away, and now he's being buried, we no longer say l'sholem, because that's almost like loig l'rosh, it's almost like making a poking fun, how is he going to go higher and higher? He's going nebuch lower and lower. So then we use the expression bisholem. So according to our Gemara, to our Gers and Bishlama, what's going on is that Rav Papa realized that this dream, unfortunately, is going to materialize, and therefore he's telling them all, you should go bisholem, because unfortunately we're soon going to have to go to all three of your funerals, three levayas. On the other hand, according to the other Gemara, the other Gersa Lishalma, what he's saying is that Rav Papa regretted the fact that he had that Chalishas Hadas, and he was going to be mispalel for all three of them, that this Cholim should not materialize, and he's benching each one of them, you should go Lishalim, you should continue to thrive and survive, and learn and grow higher and higher in your Rachmis.
So when it's with the base,
it has a negative connotation. Right. With the Lamed, it has a very positive connotation.
And this week said, "V'lo yachlucha daver imo bishalom."
Good.
They brothers couldn't talk to Yosef. They should say lishalom, but bishalom gives a great connotation. They didn't wish him well.
Yeah. So the more of Sima Barashi have a shchiach kamid Rav Papa, also a Talmud of Rav Papa, have a makshalei tuva, and he asked him a lot of kashas. Yoy mechad chazi denofal al ape. One day Rav Sima Barashi saw that Rav Papa was falling down on his face. Literally, that means that he was so depressed and so distressed about the constant onslaught of kashas that Rav Sima Barashi asked, that he, as if he fainted, he couldn't hold, keep himself together. However, the Mephoshim explained the Nofal al Ape has a second connotation, and it means Nefilas Apayim, which means Tachnun. And the reason why Tachna is called Nefilas Epaim is because we fall on our faces. Years ago, in the times of Chazal, they literally fell on their face, they would prostrate. Nowadays, we do more of a symbolic Nefilas Epaim, that we fall on our arms. But anyway, the point is that when you say Tachman, you can also throw in your own tefillah, asking Kodesh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanes on you, and Chas V'Sholem, that tefillah, if it's a negative tefillah, it could be very effective. And what happened, Rav Sima Barashi saw that Rav Papa was now doing the Tefillas Epaim Tachnan, and Shama he heard as part of the tefillah that Rav Papa was saying, besides saying the Racham Chanan, the Yemid David El God, he was also saying the Amar Rachmona Litzlan, the Kodesh Baruch Hu should save me, the Kisufa Desimi, from the Kisufa. Kisufa means from the embarrassment and the shame that Simi Rav Sima Barashi keeps on badgering me and challenging me with all of these kashas, and I'm so embarrassed. Very often I don't know the answer on the spot, and I don't know what to do, and therefore when Rav Sima Barashi heard this, Kibbal Alei Shtikusa Vesule Akshile. Since he heard how distressed Rav Papa was from his kashas, he was Makabal Shtikusa. That means Shtika, that he's going to be quiet, and he's not going to ask any more questions.
We
don't have the problem over here, because every one of the questions that is asked
has been answered perfectly.
And that's the reason. It's because we love the questions, and you remember we had the Gemara before, Mitalmida Yoisum Mikulam. It's only from, not that Chashom Talmida, these are all Chavrusis. But the point is, when people ask, that sharpens the minds of everyone, and that helps to enhance the flavor and the depth of the shir. So keep on challenging and keep on asking, even if the Maggid Shir gets upset sometimes. And the more it continues on. Remember, one of the memories of Rabbi Yochanan was that Matam Shul Yochid and Parnasam Shul Rabim, so Reish Lakish, his brother-in-law, agreed with him that Matam Shul Yochid, Yom Reish Lakish, Minayin, the Matam Shul Yochid, the Sivis, the Pasik, Shalom, Yashem, Matam, Ve'is Malkosh, Hashem, Oysech, Hazizim, Umetar Geshem, Yitem, Lahem, Li'ish, Esev Basode, a pasuk in Zechariah. You're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for matter for rain. Hashem is going to make chazizim. We're going to see shortly that chazizim are referring to clouds. We're going to see that another 10 lines down. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give matter geshem. Who is he going to give to? Leish, for one single individual. Esev, for one blade of grass. Basode, in the field. And therefore, that says Reish Lakish is the makar. Just like Rabbi Yochanan had a makar on the Amud Aleph for his pasuk that Mutar Kadosh Baruch Hu gives for a Yochid, here too it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a Mutar Ish for even one single person that says, I need rain. Kadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to rain. So now Reish Lakish develops the drasha. Yochel HaKon, I might think that when will Hashem give rain? Umetar Geshem Yitein Lohem. When it's for Lehem, for the Rabbim, for the Tzibur. Tam Eloi Mele Ish. Now, even for one person. V'tanya. And I would, the Brice adds, Ile Ish, Yachal Chol Sadoisim. When will Hashem send down rain for one person? That's if he has several fields, and each field needs rain, so therefore it is a great need. So Hashem was going to go, if the person is Mespal, Shalom Hashem, they ask Hashem properly for rain. Hashem is going to send rain for all of his fields. But what happens if this person doesn't need for all of his fields? For instance, maybe he only has one field. Or maybe the other crops don't need so much water. Even for one field, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will say, if this person is acting the way he's supposed to, and he's being mispalled sincerely with kavana for rain, I'll give him, even if he only needs for one field. Maybe only in a case where he needs rain for the entire field. Even if it's only one blade of grass, and the person says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, this grass, it's not turning green. Please, do what you can. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll do that too. And that's why the pasuk ends off, Yitin Lahem Le'ish, one individual, Esev Basada, even if it's only one blade of grass out of a larger field. And Gemara tells us a story. Ki hodr of Daniel Bar Katina, Havalei Hahi Ginsa, he had a gina, which is a garden. Every day he would go to the garden and inspect it to see what it needs. Omar and Hirav, Daniel Bakhtina said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ha Mishra, this row in the middle of the field, Bayimai, needs water. Va Mishra, Bayimai, but the other row doesn't need water. And guess what? Va'asa Mitra, V'kamashki, Kol Heicha, Demi Boyele, Maya. Wherever Rav Daniel Bakhtina said, I need water, there would be water over here and water over there, wherever he needed. And and the reverse, and there was no rain for all of those rows and furrows that didn't need the rain. So you see, Taka, the kiyum of this pasuk for one individual, for only this one field, and in this field itself, not for the entire field, even a little patch here and a little patch there, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the rain. Now it says in the pasuk, Hashem oisa chazizim. Frakti mamai Hashem oisa chazizim. Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, malamit shekol tzadik, tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu oisa lechaziz bifnei atzmoi. The plural form of chazizim comes to tell you that every tzadik, in other words, every erlechayid that is espoused to Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will go and devote a special cloud for that individual, a special chaziz. Frakti mamai chazizim. What's the chazizim? Amr Rabbi Yehuda. Parchais. Oh, those are the famous parchais. Rabbi Yochanan, similar mata parchais. If you want to know whether it's going to rain, look for the parchais. Fake him on my parchais. So what are parchais? I'm going to papa. Eva Kalisha Tusi Eva Smichta. The word Eva means an anon, means a cloud. Smichta means a very thick cloud, like those cumulus clouds. And the Eva Kalisha means those thin clouds, those cirrus clouds. And Rashi explains that, or first thing, Morris says it's Tusi, that the Eva Klisha is below the Eva Smichta, so the real thick, heavy-duty clouds with all the water are higher up, and the Eva Klisha is lower than that, and says Rashi, that's why you see the Eva Klisha, you see the Chazizim, and you don't see the Eva Smichta, or at least you don't see clearly, because that's higher up. See, Rashi, it's about a third down the Amid, Hagasim, and Eva Klisha, the Tusi, Eva Klapi Arts. It's lower than the Smichta, and therefore it's closer to the ground. So we, looking up, we see those cirrus clouds, those thin clouds, and above those are the thick clouds, the heavy-duty ones with the water.
Nebulous, I think they're called.
Nebulous?
Nebulous.
Nebulous?
Cumulus?
The cumulus nebulous. Yeah, it's a form of the cumulus that are the storm clouds.
I don't remember using any of those terms since I was in, you know, grade school in fourth grade or something, different types of clouds. So the whole thing is kind of cloudy. But bottom line is, we're talking about the thick water clouds, and we're talking about the thin clouds, and those chazizim, those are the thin clouds. And the reason why they're parchais is because they travel quickly, because they're not so heavy, they're not obese like the other clouds, so they can run the marathon and they can run away. Zok Yimara my parchas, we just said Amr of Yehuda Nihila Mekame Mitra Osi Mitra Bossa Mitra.
A nimbus cloud is a cloud that produces precipitation. Usually the precipitation reaches the ground is rain, whatever, but it's a nimbus cloud.
NIMBUS.
And there is no cumulus cloud?
Cumulus is, I think, a form of
nimbus.
Nimbus, yeah.
Oh, so it's a subset. Yeah. No, fine. If everybody's masking, we'll continue.
Rashi says also, what is the difference between the cumulus and nimbus cloud?
Yeah, what is the difference? Yeah. Okay. I'm very curious. Yeah, let's hear. Not cumulus, I'm curious.
The stereotypical puffy cloud you probably drew a lot when you were a kid. Cumulus clouds are dense individual clouds that are bright white on top and gray underneath. They typically appear earlier in the day when it's sunny. Nimbostratus cloud.
Oh.
Form a thick, dark layer on the sky.
Ah, okay. That's very, very helpful. Grace Ishkoyach, thank you very much.
Sunny Harry Potter also, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. Amar of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, this is on the sixth wide line. Amar of Yehuda, middle of the line, Nehila. The word Nehila is like a word powder. Mekami Mitra, that comes down before the regular rain. Osi Mitra is a simon that is going to be a nice heavy-duty rain. Basa Mitra, if you find such a powder form of rain, when we say powder form of rain, we mean over here a drizzle. So if you heard that there's going to be a rain today, and it starts drizzling initially, after that drizzle, you can expect, Asi Mitra, that it's going to be a proper, nice, strong rain. On the other hand, if you've already had a nice, strong rain, Basa Mitra, and now it's drizzling, then Pasik Mitra, that's a simon that the rain is coming to an end. So Mekami Mitra, Osi Mitra, if you have this type of Nehila, Nehila again means like a thin powder, like thin flour. If you have such a sprinkle before the rain, that's Osi Mitra, that means a good rain is going to come. The Simonach, the Simon is Mahulta. What's Heis Mahulta? Rashi says that when you're sifting flour, normally what comes out is, it's Rashi right here, halfway down the Amid, Mamish in the middle of the Amid, Mahulta, Shemetchila Yoytze Kemach Dak. Normally, when you're sifting flour, first you have this very thin, powdery form of flour coming out. flip soif at the end, you have sumen gas and you have big pieces of bran that come out of the sifting process at the end. So here too, when you have the nice sprinkle that's drizzling out, like from a shower head, it's a nice little sprinkle, that's a simon that subsequently there's going to be a nice strong rain. However, pasik mitra, simonech multa, the basa mitra, if you have this powdery type of drizzle post the rain, pasik mitra, that means that rain is about to end. The simonech and the simon is chariyah de'izi. Chariyah de'izi, says Rashi, is gezuntai. Re'e shel izim. This is the excrement, the tsoya of izim of goats. But chile yoitze gafa. Initially it comes out in large pieces. Flipsoif at the end, daka, it comes out in very little small pieces of poisik and then it ends. So here too, first you have the big pieces, so to speak, the heavy duty rains, and now it's coming out a little drizzle abyssala. That's like the chari, the easy, that is going to end. Okay, so if you want to write it. Ula ikla bavel. Ula came to bavel, choza parchais. Oh, he saw these parchais, the chazizim of the cirrus clouds underneath the cumulus clouds. And for those of you that want to know the difference, after the shir, ask for the shai. He is a real world expert on the different types of clouds. Exactly. Anyway, omalu. So now when Ula saw those clouds, he said, panu mani. Go quickly, take out all of your kelim and bring them inside. The hashta asay mitra. You can see all the signs are here that it's soon going to go and start pouring. And presumably people listened, but lesoi fli asay mitra at the end. In fact, it did not rain after all. Amar, so Ula, you remember we had Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, and he's now in Bavel, and now he says something which is a little bit negative about the Babylonians. Amar ki heichadim shakri bavloi. Just like the Babylonians, unfortunately, say shkorim, they lie. Achim mishakim mitrayu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, mida keneged mida, the parchois, these clouds, also lied. I was so sure. Whenever I see clouds like that in Eretz Yisrael, you know, you get out your umbrellas, get out your, and stay inside because it's going to...
Bring in your clothing that's drying on the clothesline.
Exactly right. But here in the bubble, unfortunately, we thought that that was going to be the case. Just like they are Meshachar, so their mother is Meshachar. And now the Gemara is going to tell us another, less than flattering observation of Ula. Ula
came to bubble a few times because we had the case in Rosh Hashanah, where he came and they were eating, and they wanted to head up 2 days. Was it the end?
He told them about when the Bezen HaGadol had accepted the new Chodesh for purposes of Rosh Hashanah, and when Yom Kippur would be and Sukkot would be. And then they asked him, "Can you go and prove it? Can you swear to it?"
Right.
He says, "I didn't actually hear," etc. You have to. Anyway, so I don't know if he came multiple times. Could be he came one time, and the Gemara tells us.
That time he came was Rosh Hashanah time.
Exactly.
It was too early for the mitra.
Ah, okay. Great. Very, very good. Ula Ikla Bavel came to Bavel, and Chozi Moleitzana de Tamri Bezuzo. After all, to be able to go and function both in the business world and in the Torah world, you have to be able to go and eat. You have to have food. And he saw that, Baruch Hashem, food was very, very inexpensive. He saw Chozei Mala Tzana. A tzana means a basket. You had a basket which was full of tamarim. Tamarim are dates. Bezuzah for one zuz. That's really cheap. In Eretz Yisrael, you probably had to pay 5 or 10 zuzim for such a tzana de tamri. Omar, he said, Moloi tzana de duvsha bezuzah. The word duvsha, of course, means davash, which means honey. And Rashi says, because typically they use the dates to manufacture honey. So it was date honey. And in fact, that's the, whenever we talk about in the Torah,
Eretz Yisrael,
we don't mean bees honey, we mean, in that case, we mean the date honey. That's what you have also, Eretz Yisrael, Gefen Tate Riemann, Eretz Yishemen Udvash. That's the seventh of the seven minim, and that's referring to dvash tomorrow. We're not referring to bees. Anyway, so bottom line is he used to go and make honey, and the honey was sweet, and geshmak, and all the rest. And he says, if you can go and buy a whole basket full of honey, meaning of these dates, bezuzo for one zuz, then you have to go and learn, because you don't have to waste your time working and working and working. Food is so cheap over here. So Bargoy, they ask me, right? They should all be sitting and learning geshmak and bismanish. However, he, Ula, was tempted, and in fact he ate such a maloy tzana de tamri, but like the tzeru, and that night, unfortunately, he had a terrible case, Rashi says, of shulshul. those who live in Eretz Yisrael, no, and even those in Chutzlar, so the word Shulshul means he had diarrhea. And Nebuchadnezzar, a whole night, he was suffering, and he was in the outhouse and in the in-house and back and forth. So probably said Ashiyotza 12 times that night, whatever. It was a real bad situation. So the next morning he said, Omar, I was referring to Meloitzana de Dovsha. I see, it's now Meloitzana de Sakina. Sakina means a sack and means a knife. It's as if I'd been knifed the whole night, that Nebuchadnezzar, all the tzar, all the pain I had from overeating all these delicious tamarim, they've caused me indigestion and diarrhea and all the rest. And therefore, Ubavloi asking Beraisa, and nevertheless, they're still learning Torah, I should go and compliment and flatter all of them, that even though their food is not exactly the best food for a diet, and nevertheless they eat it, and they're learning Geshmak, oh, so this is learning with Mesiris Nefesh, if you will. Tanya Blazer, now we're going to have an interesting machloek between Blazer and Rabbi Yeshua as to the rain that falls from heaven. Where did that water come from? Rabbi Blazer is going to tell us it comes from down below, and as a result of evaporation, it goes up above and then comes down once again. Or Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that there is a big chamber up in the sky where HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores all of the water, and whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to rain, he pushes the button and then the water is released from that large container. So Tanya, the whole world receives rain from the Atlantic Ocean. So the word Ve'ed has a number of translations. Parshapshat, when you learn the Pasuk, it means a mist came up from the land, the Hishka, and it watered the whole Adama. But how does a mist come up? After all, a mist should come down. So therefore, what Rabbi Blazer is saying is that the mist is referring to water that evaporates from down below, goes up to the heavens, and comes down again. I'm going to be sure. That cannot be. The waters from the Atlantic are it's salty water. And so now, what does he mean by asking that? Says Rashi. If you look at Rashi, about five lines further down in the Rashi, the whole purpose of the rain, not the whole purpose, but one of the major reasons why we want rain is so that we should have, Baruch Hashem, have crops and have tvua. You cannot go and grow tvua on salty waters. You have to have clear water. And so therefore, how can you go and tell me that the waters that are coming down from Shemayim are coming from the Ukiyonis? The Ukiyonis, these are salt waters and they're not regular waters. And we see that the tvua grows from them. As I look at Rashi, you'll notice that there's an asterisk next to the Ein Tvua, and that takes you to the Gilyon HaShas, and my Gemara is right next door, the Gilyon HaShas, the left-hand margin, where Rabbi Kiva Eger says, I don't understand the Rashi. Rabbi Kiva Eger, lo yadati, lamay tarach lezeh. Why does he have to talk about Yot Tvua, Nish Tvua, v'lo kipshutai, she'anu royim, she'enam meluchim? It's very simple. If you go and take a cup and hold it outside when it's raining, and then afterwards you bring it inside and you make a broch and you drink it, does it taste salty or does it taste like regular water? It tastes like, maybe it tastes a little bit like dirty water. That could be. Maybe there's soot. That's true. But it doesn't taste like salty water. So you don't have to talk about yotvua and nishtvua. And we see with our own eyes, and we with our taste buds, we know that they're not salty when they come as rain. So Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves it as a kasha, and a lot of Mefarshim try to struggle with answering Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. Anyway, so what do I see from this, says Rabbi Yeshua? It cannot be that it comes from down below. It must be that it comes from up above. Amaloi, says Rabbi Blazer, no. Mismaskin, you see on the side, mismaskin ba'oven. The word mismaskin from Moshe, misikus. It doesn't go straight from the Atlantic and then down again to back down to earth. It first gets stored for some period of time in the oven, in the clouds. So when in the clouds there's some sort of machinery that causes
a filter
that goes and causes the water to become sweet from the sikus. Sorry?
Water evaporates, the H2 water evaporates.
But salt below, the salt stays down below.
Because the Yom HaMelech, they mine the salt.
Exactly.
And you do an experiment in your home and take salt water.
Do it at home.
Put a hood over it and you'll see the water, and then have the water come down, it'll be all nice and clean water, and even though it's salty, because...
Is this a science project you're doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. After the shiur is over, everybody has a right to experiment at home. If your experiment doesn't work, over to Brother Shai's apartment, and you'll see his will work perfectly. Anyway, so it goes up to the Shemayim, and there it gets sweetened, and that's how it comes down unsalted water. Rabbi Shua Aimer Kaloyim Kolim Yimayim Al Yoyinim Ushayse. No, we get the water from up above. Shenem Limtar HaShemayim Tishte Moyim. The water comes from Shemayim, doesn't come from the earth. Ay Elmanim Yikam Ve'id Yalim En Oret. Malam Shanonim Nisgabrim Ve'oilim Lerikia U'poyischem Pihen Kinoid U'mekabl Mei Mater. So what Rabbi Shua is learning is, he agrees, he makes a partial concession to Rabbi Lezer. He agrees that there's something going on down below, and it's Yalim and Arts. But he interprets the word A to mean empty cloud. Empty clouds are down here, and on Miskarim v'Oilim, they slowly but surely they go up towards Rikia. Upoischen Pi and Kenoid, and they open their mouths like a container, like a flask, and then the Kodesh Baruch Hu fills up these empty flasks, these empty clouds, with water. Shenema, how I know it is Yezoiku Mata Li'idai. The Yezoiku means the Kodesh Baruch Hu pours the matter into the Idai, meaning into these flasks. Umrekovli Senki Kabra. And they, in turn, have little holds underneath, like you would find in a sieve. It was like a shower head, where you have the little holds, and the water comes out. Ubois Machashas Mayim Al Gabi Kark. And after that, they spread out the water on the karka as a result of those small holes in the clouds. Shnei machashes mayim avishchokis. Ve'im bein tipa latipa l'kamloi nima. Between one drop of rain and the other drop of rain, they never collide. You never see an explosion of drops of water hitting each other, but rather they're always separated one from the other, kamloi nima, like just a hair or like a thread in between. L'lamedcha, shegodu yamek sham kiyom shenivru boi shemayim v'aretz. Come to tell you that Yom Mikshamim, it's miraculous. We don't appreciate it. In fact, many of us would say, Halavai, it shouldn't rain. If you remember, we had the Gemara yesterday. One of the Amoraim said that it was up to him. Ameimar said, Eloi de tzorech lebriyose. If it wasn't the fact that people need the rain. But inen rachmi bat leinlei, I would pass a new law that you should have no more rain. Who needs a rain? It just causes all types of traffic and potholes and this and that and the other thing. But of course, we need the rain. Anyway, so the rain is so great, like the day that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created Shemayim V'aretz, and then it says the Pasuk. And the Gemara now quotes three psukim that we had, if you remember, back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, at the very beginning of the Masechta, when the Gemara asked, why does it say, Givurois Kishamim? So we brought a Gzeir Shavah, Cheker, Cheker. The Gemara brings again the same psukim, Oisik Doilas Ad Ein Cheker. Really doesn't say Ad Ein Cheker. It says, you see on the side, Oisik Doilas V Ein Cheker. So slightly different than the Girsan HaGemara. Oisik Doilas Ein Cheker. Uksiv HaNoisin Mata Al Pnei Arts. Now these two psukim are virtually next to each other. I think there's one pasuk in between. But the point is that the Mata that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives is V Ein Cheker. Okay? V Ein Cheker means beyond our comprehension. That's how great this ness is, that we have the waters coming down, that the rain comes down. So that's mutter is related to the word cheker. Uksiv halon, it says the gabe v'riyas oilam haliyadat v'lishamata l'kei oilam Hashem. Now the Gemara leaves out some key words. We had those back on Dav Beis, so even if you don't have the Torah or Shalom here, but back on Dav Beis we had the same pasuk. What's the pasuk the Gemara is quoting? Haliyadat, it's five lines before the wide lines in Beis Amen. Aleph Haliyadat, Emloi Shemat, Elkei Olam Hashem, Boirek Tzoyse Oretz, Layiyof, Vlayiga, Ein Cheke Lusunase. Ah, so you're talking about Boirek Tzoyse Oretz. Kodesh Baruch Hu is creating one end of the land to the other land of the land. He's creating the whole world. And, again, using the term of Cheker. So I learned Cheker, Cheker, just like over there by Briyas Olam, Kodesh Baruch Hu created it beyond our comprehension. Here too, Kodesh Baruch Hu is noisin matar, it's oisig doilas v'ein cheker. So I see therefore that we're equating the day of rain to the day of creation of Shemayim V'aretz.
We have an idea that Hashem is mechayesh tamid b'chol yom.
Right.
So it's always, Hashem's always creating the world, Hashem's always renewing the world.
So it's not...
And it's always raining somewhere.
Exactly. So you're saying that you don't even need this structure, you're adding further to it.
Right.
Very good. So you might come on as lo hadichsev, very, very good. Come on as lo hadichsev, it says in the pasuk, mashke horim mi al yosef, Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and pours water on the mountains, mi al yosef, from the al yosef up in the heavens. Is the omer of yoichanam, mi al yosef shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. It means that Kodesh Baruch Hu has his aliyos, like multiple stories, so to speak, multiple layers of Shemayim, and from there Kodesh Baruch Hu brings down the water to be mashke the heart. Right, Markiman, the chayit is called like Rabbi Yehoshua, because Rabbi Yehoshua is the one that said that the waters come from up above. Rabbi Lez is the one that said the waters come from down below. Says Rabbi Elazar, "It's in a shver." I didn't say that when it rains, it's raining from the ground. I said that the waters evaporate, they go up to Shemayim, and then they come down again. So I'm talking about on the rebound. When they're coming down again, that's when they come down the oysa, the nishver. I'll bring your raya. Now this pasuk is a pasuk in the Toichecha, towards the end of the Devarim. It says over there, obviously, offer min ha-shemayim. Heichin mishkachesla. Now, what's the whole pasuk in context? Tes amid reis. Pasuk zot azeh. Yitan Hashem es mitar arzcha avok v'ofor min Hashemayim yeir olecha ad hishamdach. A pasuk in the Toichecha, remember, if we're going to sin, Hashem is going to bring mitar arzcha instead of rain. It's going to be avok v'ofor. It's going to be dust and sand and earth min Hashemayim from the heavens. Yeir olecha is going to fall down on you ad hishamdach until chas v'shalom you'll be destroyed. The Gemara asked the obvious question. Did you ever see that it rained down dust and offer and dirt from Shemayim? That doesn't make sense. Since it gets pushed up, the Shemayim, what he means to say is that if you have a very strong wind that blows the dust up and blows some of the earth, a hurricane or a tornado, then afterwards it comes down again. So he's saying the same thing over here too. The water comes from down below from the Ukiyonis and it goes up and it comes down again. Kim in the middle of the Hazam and a Shemayim Karli. Hanami Kitzalki Lahazam and Yosef Karli.
Kim on up. We just think about the dust with Yaakov Avinu and the Malach wrestling the dust of the Shemayim.
Oh, beautiful. That's right. When they were fighting, then the dust went up. Presumably came down again to settle down. Yeah. Shekoyach. Thank you, Reb Shlomo. That's Tredis Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara, Man Az Lahodim Reb Chanina, Koinis Kaneid Mehayom Nuisim by Tzoreis to Hoyim Mois. It says Koinis Kaneid, Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and collects together. Kaneid is the machloik is exactly what Neid means, whether it means like a wall, and that's talking about Kriyas Yamsev, or Kaneid means into a like a node, like a container, a flask where the water comes in. Rashi talks about it in Chumash. Anyway, Koinis Kaneid Mehayom Nuisim by Tzoreis to Hoyim Mois. What means Nuisim by Tzoreis to Hoyim Mois? Mi Gorim Lo Itzoreis Shis Malu Bar. Who caused, or what caused that the oitzreis, the silos, the treasure houses, the storage bins, what caused them to be full of bar, meaning full of tevua? The tahoimais, that's the water down below. The water down below? Isn't it the rain that comes from Shemayim? Oh, who holds this? Is like the blessed, that we just had now, that the water started off in the tahoimais, went up, and came down. Rabbi Shua, what does he do with this pasuk? That pasuk is not talking about on a daily basis when it rains. When a daily basis rains, it comes down from the Shemayim. This is a pasuk that's talking about at the time of Brias Olam. Time of Brias Olam, then it went up and it came down. That's what he means. But nowadays, it just comes straight down from upstairs in Shemayim. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Mitchell. Can you continue tomorrow?